Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good Tuesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The Commerce Department today says that total orders for durable goods, those built to last longer than 3 years, rose by 3.6% to a seasonally adjusted $231 billion in May from the previous month. Orders for non-defense capital goods, that's a proxy for business spending on equipment and software, rose 1.1% in May. Yesterday afternoon, after the closing bell, NASS released its latest crop progress report for the week ending June 23rd. Here are how the numbers shake out for crop conditions for corn. Good to excellent, 65%. That's up 1 percentage point from a week ago. Fair, 27%. Poor, 6%. And very poor, 2%. 81% of soybeans have emerged versus 66% last week, and the five-year rolling average of 89%. Soybean conditions look like this. Good to excellent, 65%. That's up 1 percentage point from last week. Fair, 28%. Poor, 5%. And very poor, 2%. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says his chamber will not pass an extension of farm policy this year, and he is pressuring the House to figure out how to pass a farm bill. The House rejected its version of a five-year, half-trillion-dollar farm bill last week after Speaker John Boehner urged support. Reid on Monday urged Boehner to take up the Senate farm bill before current policy expires on September the 30th. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 14,750. It's up almost 91 points. The NASDAQ, 3,347, up almost 27. And the S&P 500 is 1,584, and it is up 11 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
A good mix of weather will occur across the U.S. Midwest over the coming 10 days. There's likely to be well-timed rainfall for the majority of the region. Temperatures will likely become a little bit on the cooler than usual side as we get into next week. Some of that cool-off will be welcome, though, for some of the winter crops have been experiencing a rather warm scenario at night for the past week, and it's going to continue into the weekend. Low temperatures into the 70s will occur and have been occurring on a regular basis. Next week, though, lows will be in the 50s and 60s, and that should provide sufficient amounts of time for the crops to benefit from a cooler, biased environment, give them a chance to rest sufficiently so that they can continue their development in a favorable manner. The rainfall potentials across the Midwest will probably be still significant for many areas over the next 10 days. The greatest rainfall may occur today and tomorrow. Iowa, southern Minnesota, Wisconsin, and parts of northern Illinois will see the greatest amount of precipitation today, and most of that will likely end up running a half to 1.5 inches with some local 2-inch plus amounts. The precipitation will shift off to the east into portions of Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio as we move on out further in time, and the amount of moisture that occurs in those areas will be very similar, a half to 1.5 with some local 2-inch plus amounts. Outside of these 2 days, I don't think there's going to be a lot of well-organized and significant rainfall, but we will still see showers frequently. The precipitation will probably be most significant in the eastern parts of the Midwest and some southern areas as well. And I don't want to make it sound like there's no precipitation in the western Corn Belt. It just is that the amounts in the west will be a lot lighter than those in the east, and we'll likely need to see some greater amounts of precipitation evolve as we move further out in time. The temperatures, as I mentioned, will be turning cooler, but until they do, we'll likely see 80 and lower to a few middle 90-degree readings occurring over these next several days. The warmest weather will be in the southwestern part of the Corn Belt, and that's the same area that's been experiencing the warmest and driest conditions here in the last few days. We will expect to see showers and thunderstorms occur in these drier, warmer areas as we move into the weekend and on into the first part of next week. The precipitation is not going to be real substantial, but it will offer some relief to the region. As we go on out further in time, we'll look for a return of warmer weather in the plains and western Corn Belt, but this will all take place sometime late next week going into the following weekend. Until then, it will be certainly a milder weather pattern through at least July 4th. The temperatures and precipitation potential in the southeastern part of the country should be mostly, as suggested yesterday, there's going to be some showers and thunderstorms periodically, but nothing that's going to be a big heavy soaking, but at the same time, sufficient amounts of moisture will occur to maintain favorable crop development potential. The Delta will also see perhaps a little bit more rain in today's forecast versus yesterday, just simply because of the way the second trough of low pressure digs into the plains should pump moisture up out of the Gulf of Mexico a little bit more effectively. The southern U.S. plains may also see some increase in precipitation from this trough of low pressure in another week. We'll keep an eye on that. At the moment, it doesn't look like hard red winter wheat country will see a major disruption to the harvest progress, and quality issues are not likely to be significant. There will be rain in the lower Midwest that may interfere with some of the soft wheat harvest there, and a close monitoring of the situation will be warranted in that region as well. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's see how futures are trading in Kansas City. July wheat, 714 and a half, down three quarters. July wheat in Chicago, 681 and a quarter, up two and a quarter. December, 704 and a half, up two and a half. July corn, 655 and a half, up two and a quarter. December, 544 and a quarter, down two and a quarter. July soybeans, 1518 and three quarters, up six and three quarters. November, at 1276 and three quarters, up three and a quarter. July soybean meal, 455.60, up 460. July soybean oil at 47.49 is down 6 cents. June live cattle, 121.25, up 30. August feeders, 147.77 and a half, up a dime. And July lean hogs, 101.02 and a half, and they're up 7 and a half. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning, Dave.
It was a market that started out a little bit more robust in the soybean pit, giving back a little bit of the gains this morning.
Yep, we started out and we had beans up 6 to 10. We had corn up 2 to 4, and even maybe a little higher than that, 5 to 6. We have given corn back down 1 to 2 and September and December. July is still up to. Beaners are up 3 in the new crop. That's 6 off their high. So we've backed off from that opposite Tuesday number and still looking for the report on Friday to be pushing the crop around one way or the other based on what they do with yields, what they do with acreage, what they do with usage.
And what do the folk at Bates Commodity think USDA is going to do with those key numbers?
We think they will have 1 to 2 million less acres of corn. On beans, it could be down a half to up a half based on prevent plant plus acres coming from corn. On yields, we don't think they'll do much yet, but they'll do it down the road. They might do some on corn, but if we don't do anything on corn, they're going to still be looking at a 1.6 to 7 billion carryout. On beans, they're looking at a 250 to 300 million carryout, and those are long-term negative numbers. If they lower it more than that, it'll be give it all a boost, and we could bounce a little.
Long-term negative numbers over what period of time? Could we see December corn break under 5.25, for example, the next 3 weeks?
I think we could see it down to the old low of 5.12. I don't see it going lower than that until later in the year. But if we have negative numbers, we could try that 5.12.
So the trade of the two reports, is the quarterly grain stocks report going to be more important than the acreage report?
I think that will be more important, yes. The acreage report acres are important, but the yield per acre giving us the quarterly stocks and everything else are more important.
Well, USDA do anything surprising, do you think, with the corn on the quarterly grain stock report? I remember a year ago that we were talking about where did the 300 million bushels go?
Yeah, and you never know. They could surprise the heck out of us, and that's why, ahead of reports, we sometimes make sure we're covered and just wait to see if they do shock us. Otherwise, we really don't know what they're going to say, but they could shock us by doing something like that.
Risk, though, in your mindset, still to the bottom side, huh?
We're still protecting the bottom side, trying to leave the top open. If we've had no cash sales, we would be looking at dribbling some of those out if we get back to the last week's highs.
Thank you much, Pete.
Have a great one.
That's Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, hard red winter wheat in July's contract is 7.15 down a quarter. The soft in Chicago, the July 681 and a half up 2.5. July corn is 655 and a quarter up 2. December 544 and a quarter down 2.25. July soybeans 15.18 up 6, now up 6.25. November 1274 and a half, now 75 up 1.5. July soybean meal at 455.20 is up 4.20. July soybean oil is 47.47 down 8. June live cattle 121.30 up 35. And July lean hogs 187.5 down 7.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.